Okay, good evening. So we have been studying Gairos together, the laws of conversion, for the last, 2 months. It went on for longer than we planned, and tonight I think will be the last shiur on Gairos. And afterwards, I think what we will do is we will probably have one or two classes on Purim to get us in the mood. Not that we will give you anything to get you in the mood of Ventura, but you understand what we're saying. And then we will probably have another one or two classes before we have to get in the mood of Pesach, because that's just the way life works. After Purim comes Pesach. So what I'd like to discuss today is a little different than what we've been talking about until now. Until now, we've been focusing on the process of accepting Gairim, etc., which was more a question from the Bezdin angle. What are the stages in converting? What does a Gair have to know, etc.? What I'm going to be talking about tonight is twofold. Point one are just some various sundry assorted halachos of a Gair. In other words, Gairim have certain things which we may have thought are different than other Jews. In certain cases, there might be some actual practical differences between Gair. Here's a set of sheep, Avi. There's also certain times that Gairim actually act differently than other Jews, have different halachos than other Jews, that we will discuss. And finally, we will conclude with some concluding thoughts about our attitude toward Gairim in general. And afterwards, we will, I guess, end this topic. So let's get to work. The first source that we have over here, basically, throughout halacha, Gairim are treated the same as ordinary Jews. The Torah says that Mishpatecha Yigia Lachem V'Lager Hagar. The Torah tells us, we're not even up to the first source yet, this is the introduction. The Torah tells us that there's one set of laws for you and Gairim. Right? Now, it has to be like that. If you have a society with different sets of laws for different groups of people, we have some lawyers over here, they will tell you, such a society is not a just society. Right? Law has to be across the board. This, of course, plays out in halacha also. We have rules of dina, demalchusa, dina. And dina, demalchusa only makes sense if you have a just society where the government is applying laws to everybody. If the government says, oh, your laws are different than your laws, right, in those situations, dina, demalchusa doesn't really apply. And the Torah tells us that mishpatecha yelachem lager hagar, there's one set of laws for us and for Gairim. Nonetheless, there are going to be certain technical differences because there are certain things that Gairim can't do. For example, it says in Shulchan Aruch in Simen Mem Vav, first source, Tzarech levarech b'chol yom, shelo asani goy, shelo asani oved, right? And if you're a man, you recite the bracha, shelo asani isha. Right? Now, there are three brachos that the Gemara says that you make, right? One of them is shelo asani goy, that I was not made to be a goy. Now, what do I do if I am a Gair? Can I make the bracha shelo asani goy? This creates a problem because I was made as a goy, right? And now I'm no longer a goy. So what do I do? So comes along the Ramah, and the Ramah says something which is really hard to read. This Ramah, pardon the expression, does not read like it's in Hebrew. It reads like some other language, but we can't make any ethnic jokes because that's not proper. So the Ramah writes, Haga, right? Afilu ger yachol varech kach. Even a ger can make such a bracha. Aval lo yomar shelo asani goy, sharei haya akam mitchila. A ger cannot say shelo asani, right? Shelo asani goy, because a ger was a goy. So what does the Ramah mean? Now, it's not clear exactly what the Ramah means. Some assume that what the Ramah means is that a Gair can say a bracha to the effect of Sha'asani Yisrael. I was made to be Jewish. Now, what does that mean? That means that when I was made, we spoke about Gairus in the sense of like being born again, that I'm being made anew. So what the Gair is going to say is a bracha of Nachshelo asani goy, he can't make that bracha, or she can't make that bracha. Rather, the ger can make a new bracha of shasani Yisrael. It's really not clear, and the poskim have long discussions in the Mishnah Berurah, etc., and all the poskim about what bracha a ger should make. The next source, again, that I would think that there are certain differences between a ger and a normal Jew. Yeah, David?
Isn't there some idea that at least some people say that you can't just sort of make up brachos?
So we don't make up brachos. Yeah, we don't make up brachos that are not found in the Gemara. Good question. Answer is that the Achrayim say over here that we're not making... I hope you'll forgive me if I take off my jacket, I just feel warm. The Achrayim say we're not making up a new bracha. The Gemara has this bracha, and what we're doing is we're tweaking the language a teeny bit. Apparently the answer is yes. That's what we see over here. But it's a very fine point. Next. There was a
discussion.
Shasani Kertzono, the bracha that women make, is a bracha that's not found in the Gemara. Now, I should point out that many communities do not recite the bracha Shasani Kertzono at all. Sfaradim don't recite the bracha, correct? I come from a Lubavitch background. We don't say the bracha Shasani Kertzono. It's not found in the Gemara. The Rush in the first parak of Kedushin at the end says that brachos that are not found in the Gemara should not be recited. There was a discussion about a bracha that the Kohen would make on Pidyon HaBen. The Rush says don't make such a bracha because it's not found in the Gemara. There's a bracha, however, that the Rush does quote called Birchas Besulim, which is not found in the bracha. The Rush does quote that bracha. There is a very long taz about this topic. This is like the long answer to what David asked a few minutes ago. There's a very long taz that is on that topic about making up brachas that are not found in the Gemara. Hanosin la yoyev koach is a classical case in point. The bracha of Hanosin la yoyev koach is not found in the Gemara. Even Sfaradim say Hanosin la yoyev koach in the morning, correct? Why this is true? Very hard to answer. It's a very, very good question. I don't know the answer.
Why should you only be
able to... How come even those who are ordinarily very particular not to recite any bracha that's not found in Shas, they make Hanosan Layoev Koach in the morning? Right, Ben? Is that correct? Right? It said, don't know. Next. There was a discussion in the Mordechai as to whether a ger is allowed to be a Shaleach Tzibor. You see, when you daven for the Oveg, you say, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu Elokei Avraham. Right? Then everyone goes, ay-yay-yay-yay-yay-yay-yay-yay-yay-yay-yay-yay. Right? So, can a ger say, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, the God of our God, the God of our fathers? It could be that there's not enough sheets this week in some... But the fact is that the Mordechai... quoted that the Mordechai was Rabbi Mordechai ben Hillel. He died in the Rheinfleisch massacres of 1286. The Mordechai quoted a machlokas Havishonim in Germany as to whether a ger could be a shaliach tzibor. There are some who said a ger could not be a shaliach tzibor because a ger cannot recite Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu. However, nidchu divrehem, their position was rejected. In other words, we assume that a ger can be a shaliach tzibor. This is actually a Mishnah in Bikurim. The Mishnah in Bikurim speaks about that when you bring Bikurim, there is something called Mikra Bikurim. Mikra Bikurim is Higati Hayom LaHashem Elokecha Kivasi Al Ares Asher Nasata VaHashem Elokeinu Right Arami Ovedavi VaYerim Mitzrayim. All the pesukim that we say in the Haggadah, right?
Don't we also say that when we bring Bikurim to Beit Midrash?
Yes! When we bring Bikurim to Beit Midrash, Mikra Bikurim, and when we bring the Haggadah, and when we read the Haggadah, we say those psukim.
Yes.
Now, what's going on here? In those psukim, we say that my fathers, referring to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but a ger is presumably not in that direct line, so how can the ger say Mikra Bikurim? So the Mishnah Bikurim says that a ger cannot say Mikra Bikurim. The Yerushalmi, however, in Yerushalmi quotes that a ger can say Mikra Bikurim because Avram Avinu is Av Hamon Goyim. Avram Avinu is the father of many nations, meaning to say that Avram Avinu is really the father of Gerim. Because, right, you have to remember, the Chumash doesn't only speak about Avram as the father of Yitzchak and Yishmael. There's Pidlosh and Yidlof. No? I've never, like, had a kid named Pildosh. It's some... I don't know. That's an interesting name. Don't recommend it. But the fact is that Avram Avinu, right, as Av Hamon Goyim, as the father of all these nations in the world, so every Ger is really a descendant of Avram, especially if we understand, like Chazal say, that Es HaNefesh HaShe'asu B'choran, that Avram converted men and Sarah converted women. And we don't know what happened to those neshamas, that they were machnes tachas kanfei hashchina. But according to Kabbalah sources, the basic idea is that all those neshamas that Avram and Sarah brought in remained in the fold and came back later on. All the gerim are products of Avram and Sarah. So then what is going on over here is, right, that they are really descendants of Avram and Sarah. So we could say, so a ger can daven for the Amun. It can say, okay, avosenu, because a ger is a descendant of Avram Avinu because of Av Hamon Goyim. And that's how we paskin. So although we would have thought that a ger cannot daven for the Amun, nonetheless, a ger does. The next halacha relates to a ger and Zimun. Right, over kochavin ein mezamen alav. You can't do zimun with a goy, but for a ger you can. Even a ger shemovel otaval can't have zimun, but a ger gomor, a complete ger, there is zimun, and you could say ashen chautel avosenu. You could say that Hakadosh Baruch Hu, you gave us this land. What do you mean? Gerim on that notel chelik ba'aretz. Gerim don't get a portion of Eretz. How can the ger say that? The answer is, again, because of this link to Avram Avinu, we allow gerim to say Avshin Chatal Avosinu. Now, the Prima Gunnim points out, interestingly, that according to one opinion in the Gemara, that if you do not actually get a chelik ba'aretz, you might be putter from Birkas HaMazon Min HaTorah. It might only be benching Midrabanan. Right? There's a discussion between Rashi and Tosfos in the Sugya about Noshim. Right? And according to one opinion, the reason why there might not be Birkas HaMazon Min HaTorah is because you do not notel chelak baris. You don't get a portion of Eretz Yisrael. So the Prima Gunnim says that could be that benching for Gerim is by definition Midrabanan, not Min HaTorah, even if you eat Kedei Sevilla, even if you eat a full amount. Okay, I'm just trying to give you a various potpourri of halachos that come up for Gerim. You know, the Gemara in Pesachim, the next sugya, the Gemara speaks about whether Pesach Sheni is Tashlumen of Pesach Rishon and not Tashlumen of Pesach Rishon. Meaning to say, let's say I convert between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, am I able to bring a Pesach Sheni? Right, if Pesach Sheni is Tashlumen of Pesach Rishon, if it makes up Pesach Rishon, so then if I wasn't around at the first Pesach, I can't bring the second one. So the fact is that the Gemara paskins that if you are Niskayim in Pesach Rishon, Pesach Sheni, you do bring a Pesach Sheni. We assume that Pesach Sheni is an independent chiyuv. That Pesach Sheni is not a Tashlumen, it's not a makeup for Pesach Rishon. However, this opens the question to 9 million other dinim that we could question within the Ger. For example, if Kibegar has a suffix, okay, let's go back to benching. Let's say you are very hungry and you eat a full meal. And then they say, sir, ma'am, it's time to go to the mikvah to become Jewish. So you jump into the mikvah. Then you come out of the mikvah. Do you bench? I ate the food when I was not yet Jewish, no? Can I bench? If I have a feeling of being satisfied, it's still there. Trust me, the corporation doesn't go away so quickly, right? It's still there. Can I bench in that situation or not? So that is a discussion of Reb Kiva Eger. It's very similar to this discussion about Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, because if it's a makeup, right, if Pesach Sheni is a makeup, Pesach Rishon can't do it. Over here, the benching is presumably because you ate. Right? Well, now I ate as a guy, so maybe I don't have to bench. On the other hand, I still feel full. So maybe I do bench. That's a suffix in Rebbe Kiva Eger, right, which is very interesting. Now, Rebbe Kiva Eger says is that if you ate Kedei Sevilla, if you ate the full amount to be really full Min HaTorah, then you should bench in those cases, in the case when you convert in between. That's a little bit difficult based on the Prima Gunan that we said before. According to the Prima Gunan, that a ger only benches midrabanan, so even if you ate the sevilla, you should not have to bench. Again, this is all razzle-dazzle stuff. Yeah?
Are you saying that a levi doesn't have to bench in the rice?
According to, that's Tysus's kash on Rashi. If you're going to say that, it's because you don't have a chiluk in Aktus Shel, so Tysus asks, so even Kohanim and Leviim don't really get correct. That's a very good kasha. Yeah. What? They get in the cities, but they don't have a defined portion, and we don't know exactly where they are. Right? There are certain cities that are supposed to go to Leviim, but we can't say that each person has their chiluk ba'aretz. Right? Okay. Apparently, one of Tysus' kashas is from Kohanim and Leviim, yeah.
What if a ger, and this must really happen, unlike the Muslim thing, what if a ger is Meyer in the middle
of Sfira? Right, yeah. So if you convert in middle of Sfira Sa'omer, right, this is the next bar mitzvah, you know, like every bar mitzvah boy gets bar mitzvah in the middle of Sfira Sa'omer, so it gives a pshetel about whether I should be counting Sfira or not. If I convert in those Sfira, it should be the same discussion. Rabbi Yosef Engel, in his Sefer Tziyunim LaTorah, letter Yud Beis, has a lengthy discussion about that. Generally speaking, we assume that you do not count with a bracha that first year. Even if I've been counting to practice as a non-Jew, I said 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 as a non-Jew, then I convert, but still, right? Right, there's a discussion, for example, let's say I convert in middle of Chol HaMoed Sukkot. Can I make a Shehecha Yonah on the Sukkah? I sat in the Sukkah as a Goy at the beginning of Yontif. Can I make a Shehecha Yonah on the Sukkah now? Most assume in that case that you do make a Shehecha Yonah because it wasn't really your mitzvah beforehand.
What about Lulav?
Lulav, yeah. The first time I do a mitzvah, presumably I should make a Shehecha Yonah on that mitzvah, on the Lulav also, because I was doing it beforehand as a guy, but that wasn't really my obligation.
Well, does that mean that a ger makes a Shehecha Yonah on every mitzvah that he does for the first time? When
so that's an excellent question. The Ramah writes in Simen Chaf Ches in Yerideya, the Ramah passes that the first time I do a mitzvah ever, I make a Shehecha Yonah. No? The Ramah is speaking about the context of the mitzvah of Kisui Hadam. You know, when you shecht a bird or a wild animal, you have to cover the blood. If you shecht a domesticated animal, you don't cover the blood. I remember one time in camp, we decided during the 9 days to have National Shechita Day. So we had some guy went, and I know the guy, whatever, and he bought a goat and a bunch of chickens, and we shechted them in camp in the middle of the night. And Abi were half to go to Shalom, found out about this, and he got really upset about because this is like, he was like the director of Camp Marisha. Apparently there's some rule that you're not supposed to like slaughter chickens in the camp kitchen. Who would have guessed? But apparently that was like the rule. So we shechted these chickens and the goat and etc. It was like really a lot of fun. And then Abi Warhafte comes down and he's like all upset because we shechted chickens. So we decide, like, how are we going to make him less upset? We say, Rabbi, we're haftig, you know, we'll be mechabig you, we'll give you the honor of doing the mitzvah of Kisui Hadam. So Rabbi, we're haftig, it's like, oh, gevadig, Kisui Hadam. But then, like, we decided, like, have pilma. So Rabbi, we're haftig, have you ever done the mitzvah of Kisui Hadam before in your life? So he's like, I don't think so. So then, I remember Yaakov Rablowski and I are sitting around. We say, you know, maybe you should be making a Shehecha Yonah on this, because Ramah says you can make a Shehecha Yonah. But the Shach disagrees with Ramah. Shach says that you don't make a Shehecha Yonah the first time you ever do a mitzvah. Shach, long Shach, Simon Chavka, Sifka, and Hey. Very long Shach. So, and he's like saying this, like, you guys are absolutely stark raving mad. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning, you shefted a chicken in my kitchen, right? And I go, what exactly are you, like, Kolal guys doing? But this is the way we had fun in our youth. The minhag of shochtim, the tevuas shor says, is that they would make a shechi on the first time they did a mitzvah, even though the shach disagrees with the Ramah. Usually, according to the rules of halacha, we should follow the shach. Nonetheless, the minig is that we do make a shechi on the first time we do a mitzvah. It's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos in Ketzer Mevarchim and elsewhere. Yeah.
What about the chalaka? There's the brach shas and mitzvah I've seen, and you can't say the first time wrong because.
Right, so the question is, can you say lavosinu? All of these words, lavosinu. So the fact is, poskim said that ger should make the bracha the same as everyone else. And what they mean by lav osin is like they are becoming part of the team. Uh-huh. And they are, you know, I don't know if George Washington is my father. He's really not. But he's one of our fathers. And on a certain level, I think that's the basic idea of the gang. Once we're talking about Chanukah, if a ger converts in the middle of Chanukah on the fifth day, how many candles does he light? Does the ger light one candle because for him it's the first day? So the answer is no. You light five candles of Chanukah, right? I don't think that's such a question. A few other dinim to discuss in terms of... A few other questions to discuss in terms of gerim, just very briefly, is which minhagim does a ger keep? If I come from a Lubavitch background, so I do certain weird things, like as a Lubavitch, you know, I don't make a bracha on Halom Rosh Chodesh, right? Some Sfaradim also do that. A ger converts. Do you become Sfaradi, Ashkenazi? Do you become Italian? Do you become a Hungarian chassid? Like, what exactly are you? So can you pick and choose? Can I pick that I'm going to do this? I like this minug that the Italian Jews do, and that minug that the Sfaradim do, and that minug that the Moroccans do. Like, I mean, we speak about Sfaradim as Ashkenazim, often we like put them in one category, and the reality is, of course, that they're different communities. So what do you do? So most poskim say that you choose a community and you stick with it. The community that you live with, you choose, you keep them and hug him, stick with it. Chacham Ovadi Yosef is into Sfaradi pride. No? Look at this tribune, Chacham Ovadia. She'ila. Ger Tzedek Shinit Gai Beretz Yisrael Kadat Umotz Ome Artzot Ashkenaz. If you have a Ger Tzedek, right, it's the bottom of page one, in this section it says Min Hagen. A Ger Tzedek who comes from Ashkenazi lands and converts in Israel. Ha'im yuchal hitnaheg behuchot pesach ubiyeser ha'halochos kemina gasfaradim ve'edut ha'mizrach shekibro leim horot ma'aran ha'shulchan aruch. Basically, this is someone who came from Germany, came from France, and converts to Judaism. He's coming from Ashkenaz. Maybe he's converting in Eretz Yisrael. So does he use minhagim of Ashkenaz and minhagim of Sfaradim? Says Chacham Ovadia. Me'ata, ho'il o'marana Shulchan Aruch u'mara da'ara Yisrael. The Shulchan Aruch is the rabbi of the land of Israel. Va'atre de'marhu. And Israel is the land of the Shulchan Aruch. V'tcho toshavei Eretz Yisrael sivoteha kiblu horota v'chala sheyomar ki huzeh. Everyone there is accepted what the Mechaber says. Bein l'hako bein l'hachmer al piv yitzu al piv yavo'u l'figach nira she'ger tzedek shen gai v'Eretz Yisrael hario ki katan shen nolad ba. It's like you're a new baby who's born in Eretz Yisrael. Va'alav l'nhog b'cho halichotav k'dat marana Shulchan Aruch bein l'akel bein l'hachmer. This is Sfaradi pride. Chacham Ovadia says he converted to Judaism, you're already converting to Sfaradiism. Right? Because the Shulchan Aruch was accepted by everyone in Shulchan Aruch, in Eretz Yisrael.
That's right?
Only if you convert in Israel, right? If you convert in America, so then you follow the majority of the community. Most Poskim assume that you can convert to become Ashkenazi even in Israel today. I think they'd be putting all the Bati Din out of business if they would say that you have to convert to be a Sfaradi. So the fact is that we treat the convert like he's an, or like he or she is whatever they want to be, and they can join any Eidah they want. That's Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Paskin, that's Rabbi Yosha Paskin said. David, got a comment? Fine. Next topic.
As you said, it's Sfaradi pride.
Next topic, Tevilas Kalim. This is an interesting one. The halacha is that when I purchase Kalim from a non-Jew, so I have to immerse them in the mikvah, no?
Right.
Now, when the ger converts to Judaism, so all the pots that the ger had beforehand have to be kashered. Because even if the ger has not been cooking pork and whatever, but the fact is that anything that the ger was cooking until now was bishul akum, right? And we kasher the pots from bishul akum. The pots are non-kosher. But do you also have to bring the pots down the street and stick them in the mikvah? Usually, when I buy a keli from a goy, first I do hagala, then I do tevila. First I kasher it, then I stick it in the mikvah. Does a ger have to stick his own pots into the mikvah, stick his dishes into the mikvah? This could be a tircha, one of the hardest things people find, like when they first get married. Now, everyone says that the beginning of marriage is very difficult. The reason why it's so difficult is you're spending a lot of time doing tefilas kelim. That's what's so difficult. Let's be honest. So the fact is, do we say that ger, you do not have to toivo your kelim? Or maybe we say you do have to toivo your kelim. Now, I think simple logic would indicate you have to toivo your kelim, no? The kelim used to be non-Jewish owned, now they are Jewish owned. However, Chacham Avadi Yosef in this tshuva has two reasons why he thinks that you do not have to tovo your kelim. And in fact, Chacham Ovadia's psak is that you have to tovo your pots, your metal pots, but not your glass dishes when you convert. Tovoing glass, we paskin is derabbanan. Tovoing metal, we paskin is doraisa. Chacham Ovadia says that for the metal, the ger should tovo, the glass you should not. Why not? What are the reasons why not? So he has two interesting reasons. B'hashgafa rishona hayanirali lomar. Okay, letter Aleph. It seems at first glance to say, the halacha is well known that when you convert, it's like you're being born again. Mimela, once you're being born again, so that really means that you, as it were, died, and then you're born. When a person dies, he loses ownership, she loses ownership of all the stuff that they have. So mimela, nifka abaluso me'al hakelim shalom. Does it work like this legally? If I convert, so then all my stuff becomes not mine, and then I just take possession of them again. Right? So what happens is, in the process of conversion, I lose my ownership on all my kelim, and they become hefker, and then I am being zochem in ha-hefker. I am getting the kelim from hefker, and as such, I don't have to tovo my kelim, because the halacha is when I purchase kelim, I have to tovo them. If I get a keli from Hefger, if I get a keli that was ownerless until now, right? If it was a guy's keli that I buy, I toifel it. But if it was Hefger, I don't have to toifel it. It was ownerless. For a minute and a half, it was ownerless until I retake possession. So therefore, it's not like the case of clay midyan. The Torah in Parshas Matos speaks about the source of tefilas kelim, achas azov, es hakesef, the Torah says that we tovel the kelim. We tovel kelim. So that situation was a case when I acquired the kelim from a guy. The mode of acquisition there was war. And war is a standard mode of acquisition. I could buy stuff by giving money. I could buy stuff by fighting for it and obtaining it. But something that was hefker until now, maybe I don't have to... maybe I don't have to toivo these kelim. That's one reason. The second reason that he gives is very interesting. He quotes that the Shemi Shmuel is the Sochet Shavu Rebbe in his commentary on Chumash, quotes in the Avni Nezer, that basically has a case like this, that the idea of Geirus is when I go to the mikvah, I completely change, and everything about me completely changes, and my kelim are also as if they went into the mikvah. Now, this sounds to me like it's a Hasidish Shal Shuras Torah. Right? This doesn't sound rigorous, no?
No.
Nonetheless, Chacham Uvadia says, okay, we have these two reasons, which I don't understand any of them. We have these two reasons. Therefore, he thinks that you do not have to tovel your glass kelim. Most assume that when a ger converts, you have to go through the difficult process of tovelling your kelim. There is a system, actually, the Chabad has, that they go to prospective converts and they tovel their kelim. I think, though, in some cases they do it wrong. In some cases they actually show up before the actual conversion date. You have to do it after the conversion date. If you do it before the conversion date, then they became the possession of a guy, then you have to do it again. Yeah, Ben?
The second reason, why does it use glass at this time?
Well, so the distinction between glass and metal is just because he's not convinced that these reasons are good reasons or not. He says, for drabbanon, so like glass will rely on these reasons. For daraisas, I won't. That's basically what he says. Yeah, Batya? You assume it's lost, not hefker. I think the idea is that when I become a ger, since the halacha views it like I am being born again, gershon is gaika katan shenolad. So if I am just born. So obviously I don't have any possessions from beforehand. What happened to all my possessions? I don't know. I'm a baby. I was just born. I'm a 40-year-old baby, but I'm a baby. Right? So I can't have any possessions. I can't own any possessions. Now, some poskim want to use this for another case, which is very interesting. Listen to this one. Let's say you are converting to Judaism in the middle of Pesach. And you own chametz.
Yeah, I was going to ask that.
You own chametz beforehand. And then you decide, and then, right? Because I'm a guy, I can own chametz, right? Actually, last year, when I'm selling the chametz, so someone who was in the process of conversion comes over to tell me that she wants to sell the chametz to a guy. I'm like, I think you're missing, like, the idea is that a Jew is supposed to sell the chametz to a guy. You're not Jewish yet. You should not be, right? Like, you don't have to sell the chametz. Right? She's like, no, I want to practice on the chametz. I guess there's nothing wrong with selling the chametz. But I told her, you know, like, we could use you. It might be much easier. You really understand the system. Like, you could be our chametz guy, right? But let's say you have a ger who didn't sell the chametz and then converts to Judaism. So now the question is, once they convert, they are now in possession of a lot of chametz. Do I assume that the chametz that they came in possession of in the middle of Pesach became chametz of our love of Pesach, became chametz that was owned by a Jew for Pesach? So one could argue something to the effect of, well, maybe what we could say is that when I converted to Judaism, I completely gave up on my ownership of the chametz. It wasn't mine, like what we say about Tefillas Kelim. Then after I convert, there's a halacha that it's lo nichale likni iser. I don't want to take possession of an item of iser. The Achronim discussed, the Rishonim discussed a case, let's say a person, Rachman Litzlan has a parent who dies on Pesach, and the parent was in possession of chametz, and then they get Yerusha on Pesach. They get inheritance. Do I say that, one second, you got inheritance of chametz, now that chametz becomes also as chametz shavuot on Pesach? I say, no, I don't want it. I don't want that stuff. Get rid of it. I'm not interested in it. Lo nichalei delikni. I don't want to obtain the iser. So we could say the same type of thing by the ger. No? If you assume that in the gerus process you lose your ownership of things and then you're just retaking possession, so I could say something like, oh, that's really interesting. I lost my ownership. Usually I retake possession, but in the case of chametz, I don't want to take possession. So that would be a possible heter for this weird case of someone who converts in the middle of Pesach and the chametz. Okay, there are a number of other dinim that I want to discuss. Actually, I think I was a little too ambitious. Let's just try to talk quickly, so we'll move fast. At the bottom of page 2, there is something called havchana. Havchana means there is a period to distinguish. According to Gemara logic, which might not be incorrect according to medical knowledge. Okay, is that enough hedging? But there were two types of babies. There are 7-month babies and there are 9-month babies. Now, if a woman gets divorced from guy 1 and she married guy number 2 right away, we might have a problem that we can't identify who is daddy. Is this baby a 9-month product of husband 1 or a 7-month product of husband 2? We can't distinguish. So based on this, Chazal say that, you know what? That you have to have havchana. You cannot get married until 92 days have passed since the giving of the get. 92 days of distinction, 3 months worth. That's the basic halacha. Another reason for this halacha, the Gemara says, and this might be the way we pass in the Beis Shmuel, tells us at the beginning of Eben HaEzer and Simeon Yud Gimel. Another reason for this is we don't want a brother to marry a sister. If I'm not going to know who the father is, so then potentially I think he can marry right? He can marry his sister, she can marry her brother, that would be very bad. So therefore, 92 days of separation. There is another halacha of separation that comes up in the context of Gavis. If you convert, even if you convert with your husband, a husband and a wife both see the light. They're walking down the road and they have this mirage. It's amazing. They see the light. They decide to convert into Judaism. So the halacha technically says that they are supposed to separate for 92 days. Right? And those were basically telling them to break up a little bit and then remarry as Jews, because we have to know, is child Zera Shenizra B'Kedusha or Zera Shenizra Shelo B'Kedusha? Right? Is the child, right, Jewish or not? We know biologically who the parents are, right? Fine, wonderful, upstanding moral couple. Gersh, right? Look at the bottom halacha. Gersh and Iskav Ishto Imofa. Husband and wife team convert. Srichem lefrosh zem yizeh gimel chadoshim. Lahavchen bein zera shenizra b'kedusha lezera shenizra shelo b'kedusha. To distinguish between the two. Now, do we do this today? So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. Rav Moshe writes that if the woman got her period, so then we allow her to get married. Because once you got your period, we know that you're not pregnant. And then we recognize that you're not... Now, even though in the Gemara, this is not a proof of anything, you can be pregnant and still get a period. But nonetheless, Rav Moshe says that was at the time of the Gemara. For us today, things are a little bit different. Therefore, says Rav Moshe, you could solve the issue of Havchana if you just got your period. Now, Rav Moshe only says this in the context of a ger. In the context of a woman who gets divorced from her husband, when we mandate the 92 days of separation, the Havchana over there, Rav Moshe does not say, if you get your period, we'll allow you to get remarried within 92 days. Only by a ger. That's because Havchana by a ger might be Drabanan, and Havchana by a Grusha might be D'Oraisa. What we really do today, based on this Rav Moshe, is we tell the couple, if you want to get married, take a pregnancy test. If you are, you test not being pregnant, so we know, right, what the story is. Once we know what the story is, we know, the whole concern is we have to know whether the child was born when she was non-Jewish, or whether the child was conceived non-Jewishly, the child was conceived Jewishly. So the pregnancy test will solve the problem. This is what Rav Moshe says. This is because Rav Moshe, in a number of areas of halacha, accepts the validity of pregnancy tests.
What about a DNA test?
Yeah, when we assume, so DNA test, we'd probably rely on that also today, once we have those testing devices.
But
so,
when it wouldn't help for the ger.
In the case of a ger, you're saying a DNA test won't help because because genetically, right, we know who the parents are. The only question is, was it Jewish or non-Jewish?
No.
You're saying in the case of
the
Grusha, in the case of the woman who's divorced from husband one, marrying husband two, then the DNA test might help.
No, I'm saying in general it will help because it will tell you not only who the parent is, but if it was non-Jew or...
No. Well, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Especially in this case, it's the same people.
No, because if you...
It's the same people. It's
no,
the same DNA.
DNA test.
Your DNA doesn't change when you go to the mikvah and you become Jewish. No. That's where you're from. I don't think so. I don't think the DNA changes. Right? So this idea that Rav Moshe has, Chacham Avadia, deals with this in the Tshuva and Chela Tessa Bi Abiyah Omer.
Why do we care when the child becomes Jewish whenever the mother goes to the mikvah, right?
So the child becomes Jewish when the mother goes to the mikvah, so that means that the child himself is a convert, but still we need to know, is that child a convert, or is that child... a born Jew, right? In other words, this halacha of Havchana is to distinguish categories. We have to distinguish, are you a born Jew or are you a Jew by choice, right? And in order to know that, we have to have this 92-day separation, unless we follow Rav Moshe, that pregnancy tests suffice for that as well. Okay, let's talk about one other halacha, Kibur Ave'im, by a parent who is a kibbutz avim by a ger. Does a ger have an obligation to honor the parent who is non-Jewish, right? The biological parent. So the Rambam writes, and this Rambam is Paskin in Gerideya Reish Mem Aleph Siftes, that it's forbidden for a ger to strike his biological parents. Shelo yomru banu mikedusha chamura lekedusha kala. Right? Even though we have a rule, like Gershon Eskaz and Katan Shalala, that when you convert, it's like you're born again. But it would look terrible if this person is hitting the parent. People would say, what type of religion is this? This is like such a bad thing. It's such a lack of respect. You're hitting your parent. Shelo yomru, banu mikedusha chamura lekedusha kala. It went from a higher kedusha to a lower kedusha. Therefore, a ger is not allowed to strike the parent. That's what the Rambam says. Now, the Gemara has this line, the Shelo Yomru Banu Mikedusha Chamura LeKedusha Kala, in the context of incestual relationships. The Gemara says that the table of arayos, right, that I can't marry my sister and my aunt, etc. Technically, a ger, Gersh Niskaka Katan Shanola Dung, it's like I'm born again, so I'm not related to my sister and to my aunt. So technically, I should be allowed to marry them. But that would look really, really bad, no? Shelo yomru banu mikedusha chamura lekedusha kala. As a non-Jew, I'm not allowed to marry them. And now as a Jew, oh, holier than thou Jews, you're doing all of these terrible things. So therefore, the Gemara says, don't marry, don't have these incestual relationships. The Rambam extends it to kibbut av'im.
In other words,
so the problem is, by incestual relationships, we understand that the Goyim were forbidden to marry their sisters, their aunts, etc. Right? Arayus is one of the seven mitzvot b'nei Noach. But kibbut av'im isn't one of the seven mitzvot b'nei Noach. So how can the Rambam tell me that a ger has to honor his parent, his non-Jewish parent? Right? How does that emerge in the Rambam? So it's a big mystery in the Rambam. I give you here a tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein, who works very hard on this question. Rav Schechter actually has a suggestion in his Sefer Ginas Egos, in the third of his big svarim. Rav Schechter's suggestion goes as follows. He thinks that Shelo Yomru Banu Mikedusha Chamura LeKedusha Kala means that other people shouldn't say it. Technically speaking, a non-Jew is not obligated in kibbut av'im. It's not one of the seven mitzvahs of b'nei Noach. But let's be honest. Every moral person respects their parents. And now you're going to be Jewish and you're not going to respect your parents. So therefore, that would be a terrible thing. That would morally look really bad. Therefore, we tell the ger, respect your parents also. That's the way Rav Schechter understands this halacha of kibbut av'im. By a ger, based on this, he explains a medrash of being of Lech Lecha with Avram Levina. The Avram Levina is told that you should listen to Hashem to go to Eretz Yisrael. Don't listen to your parents. Why? Because Avram Levina is not related to his parents anymore. He's a convert, and as a convert, right? Usually, you listen to your parents as a convert. But in a case where there's a mitzvah to do, so then you obviously don't, because God is telling you to do something else. In that situation, it doesn't look immoral. Yeah, Ben?
Do we say the same thing with regards to when the ger's parents pass away?
Okay, so when the ger's parents pass away, do you say Kaddish? Do you sit some sort of Shiva? So Chacham Avad Yosef has a different Shuva about that. The assumption is that there's no obligation for Shiva, certainly. There's no obligation for Avelos. However, the Rama tells us in Hilchos Avelos that if you have a close friend who passes away and you want to volunteer Avelos, you can do so. Right? You can dedicate an Avelos. So, generally speaking, we recommend to some extent or other that the ger should observe Avelos for the parent. Not Avelos to the sense, let's say there's a halacha of Avelos of Aninos, that before the burial, you don't do any mitzvahs, you don't wear tefillin, you don't daven. So that we won't tell you to do, because you're really not obligated in Avelos / Aninos, but you should take some time off and send a little bit of Shiva to show that you're sad and that it was your biological parent. Similarly, we recommend that you say Kaddish. Also, Chacham Avadia's case is that if the parent was a moral person who introduced you to concepts of God, and that led you on your travels toward finding the Kaddish Baruch Hu and Judaism, so then certainly you should say Kaddish. That I think is the standard. That I think is the standard approach. Yeah.
Is one aspect of Kibbutz Hakaras HaTov?
Absolutely.
Is that the
guy? So that's.
So
that's exactly what Rav Moshe Feinstein says. I give you a tshuva here of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe really deals with the Hakaras HaTov issue. I was just trying to go fast, so I skipped that part. But yes, that's exactly what Rav Moshe says.
Another question is, can
Gebing Mitzara
for Bezdin
or for Eidos? So Eidos, absolutely. Bezdin is a technical problem. We posit that Ger is done as Chaviro Hager. A ger can sit in the bezdin to judge other gerim, but a ger should not judge a regular Yisrael. That's an issue of srara. One of these halachos that's harder to explain in the modern world is the halacha of srara, which is that certain positions of leadership have to be mimuvchar shebachecha, have to be from people who traditionally are in a higher place of society. As such, a ger cannot judge other gerim. A ger can judge other gerim, but a ger cannot judge a regular Yisrael, based on that halacha of srara as well. A ger cannot be a dayan, technically. Now, the question as to whether in yeshiva we give smicha to gerim, we do. And the question is why. Rabbi Weiss, I remember, was very nervous when this question came up in his tenure. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about this. And let's talk about it in the other way. It leads into the next section, the section of Ahavas Hager. Rav Moshe's basic argument is that, yes, a ger can serve as a dayan. And ordinarily, a rabbi is someone who is trained to also be a dayan. With a ger, because of the mitzvah of Ahavas Hager, we will not push them away from the possibility of being an ordinary rabbi, although they cannot be a dayan. That's Rav Moshe's basic argument. There's what to say about this. This is obviously a very hot topic that we can't address in a minute and a half, but we're just trying to... Yeah, Ben?
Did it come up before Rabbi Yisrael's
tenure? No, it came up many times beforehand. The first time it came up when Rabbi Yisrael was dean is when he got really nervous about it.
But what was new about it?
Nothing was new, but I don't think he realized that this had come up so many times. Until you're in that position, you don't recognize that it comes up, yeah? Now, I want to talk about the mitzvah of Ahavas Hager, loving converts, yes?
Can a
ger be a shul president? That should be the same issue, right?
Sarara.
It should be the same issue as Sarara. It's a very good question. Honestly, as a technical... What? Right. We give a ger smicha, but not for dayanos, not for positions, not for the actual sarara. We give the ger, like, leading in that direction. I would be inclined that a ger should not be a shul president. Rabbi Reis pointed out this was a big machlokas in the shuls in Philadelphia around 10 years ago. Rabbi Aaron Felder, Zichrono Levracha, wrote a tshuva, I think, forbidding it. And there was a Rabbi Brisman in Philadelphia who wrote a tshuva permitting it. They had, like, a whole machlokas about the nature of Sarara in terms of shul presence. It's a big issue. My personal opinion is that I'd be uncomfortable with it, probably. Although I haven't thought about it in a practical sort of way, I'm just thinking aloud.
What about being a shul rabbi?
Being a shul rabbi, I think, would be a problem.
Be a shul rabbi, just not
so, a diet. So Rav Moshe's understanding of Sarara is that to have the title rabbi, I think, is okay, but not to have a position of authority. You could be a rabbi who... that's the way I understand it. And even that, Rav Moshe is only willing to... Rav Moshe has a discussion about whether a ger can become like a teacher, a Rosh Hashiva. And I don't think by Rosh Hashiva he means someone who's like lording over the entire yeshiva. He means like a regular position of teaching. Rav Moshe okays that because it's not a full-fledged position of authority. And we have the mitzvah Ahavas HaGer that...
Cool. Why don't we use Rabbi Akiva as a role model?
Yes, Rabbi Akiva was Ben Amshel Gerim, right? Absolutely. Shemayin Naftalion. So how that works, the Tosis Yontif at the beginning of Avos. We spoke about this, I think, when we gave Pirkei Yavashim during Shalosh Shuddos. Tosis Yontif at the beginning of Avos raises these questions. The questions are much better than the answers, yeah. Much better than the answers. This is a real question. That issue of the potential positions that are open to a ge'er and balancing that with the mitzvah of ahavas ha-ge'er really can be a very, very difficult road to travel. Let's just learn about ahavas ha-ge'er for a minute, because if we're concluding our shiurim on ge'erus, I think it's appropriate that we should focus on what the Rambam tells us in Perek Vav of Hilchos Deos. First, the Rambam tells us that there's a mitzvah to love every Jew. That's a mitzvah ahavta l'reacha kamocha. That we know, right? Beautiful mitzvah, right? So long, we all like it. Then the Rambam tells us in Halacha Daled, ahavas hager, shebo v'nichnas tachas kanfei hashchina, the love of the ger who entered underneath the wings of the Shechina, is shtei mitzvos atzei. To love a ger, there are two mitzvahs. Achas v'pnei shehu b'chlal reyim. One is because a ger is v'hafta l'reyacha kamocha. He's a regular Jew, you have to love him. V'achas v'pnei shehu ger. V'hatora amra v'hafta emes a ger. This is a separate mitzvah to love a ger because he's a ger. And then the Rambam adds, tzival ahavas a ger, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to love a ger just like he commanded us to love Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself loves gerim. Says the Paradis Yosef, the Pshatnis Rambam, I think it's pretty obvious when you read the Rambam. The Rambam is telling me, you know why I love a ger? I love a ger because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves gerim. And I love Hashem. And I want to do the things that Hashem does. Hashem is Ohev es Hager, and we have a mitzvah of Haftas Hashem Lokecha. And because Hashem loves Gerim, we have to love Gerim. In other words, it's not only that loving of a Ger is a mitzvah of Ahavtem es Hager, that the Ger is an individual I love, but by loving the Ger, I am fulfilling the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem. Ahavas Hashem, if I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I should try to do all the things that Hashem does. One of the things that Hashem does is Hashem loves Gerim.
Who does it say this?
That's what the Rambam is saying. Let's read the Rambam's...
The Pasuk
says, Ve'ohev ger losis lo lechem v'simla. Kadosh Baruch Hu loves Gerim, and he gives them clothing, right? Gives them food, right? So this whole idea of v'halachta b'tzrachim, of imitating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, means that I love Gerim because Hashem loves Gerim. I think that's a very powerful idea. Next point that I want to make in terms of the mitzvah of Ahavas HaGer is a point Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky makes in his Sefer on Chumash. The pasuk of V'ahavta L'Reyacha Kamocha and the pasuk V'ahavtem Es HaGer. What's the difference between a Lamed and an Es? This is something that Rabbi Nahirsh probably talks about. Right? What's the difference between a Lamed and an S? So the Malbim also addresses it. And the Malbim says that V'ahavta L'Reyacha Kamocha, you in some ways are the object. V'ahavta L'Reyacha. And I should do to you things that I like to be done to myself. That's really the mitzvah. Things that I would want to be done to me. That's what Hillel says. V'adal lav sani, v'chavrach l'tavish. V'ahavtem es hager means that I should find the things that the ger loves and do those things to the ger. It's a much higher madriga of love. If I'm not trying to figure out what I like and do it to you, I'm trying to figure out what it is that you really like. The mitzvah, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, I don't know if Rabbi Nahirsh says it this way or not, that the es means a much stronger type of love than the Lamed. V'ahavta L'Reyacha Kamocha is right? I do to you the stuff that it's to you, right? But I'm doing the stuff that I would like to be done to me. As opposed to if I have to es hager, right? Now, what exactly this means practically, I don't know. But I think the hashgafa behind it is very important. That the mitzvah of ahavas hager is in a different place, right? Because of the ahavas Hashem component and because of this S. The last point that I want to make in terms of the mitzvah of ahavas hager is what the Sefer HaChinuch says. The Sefer HaChinuch sometimes decides to wax poetic. Right? He takes a simple mitzvah and then he builds upon it. And he writes like this about the mitzvah Ahavas Hager. V'yesh lanu lomod min ha-mitzvah ha-yakara hazos, the last paragraph, that we should learn from this beautiful mitzvah of loving gerim, l'rachim al odom shu be'ir, she'ena eretz molato, to have compassion on a person who's not in his home territory, u'makom mishpachas avosav. V'lo navir olav haderech b'matzonu oso yichidi, v'rachko me'olav ozrav. And we should not ignore people when they are far away from their natural habitat. Kimosh anu roim shatorot is hiranu l'rachim akom yishatzarech ezer. The mitzvah of haftim es hagerzot, the Sefer HaChinuch teaches me, that whenever you have somebody who's not in their natural territory, an outsider, someone who doesn't feel part of the community, part of the team, you have to show extra love for that person. You have to go out of your way. You know what? You don't feel comfortable. You're a new person in town. Let me give you a plate of cookies. Let me genuinely welcome you. Let me make you feel part of the community. Go out of our way to welcome people who don't naturally fit in. And this is exactly the mitzvah of Ahavtim Es Hager. What I learned from Ahavtim Es Hager is not only a convert, but anyone who's a stranger, and there's so many of them. There's so many people around who, you know, come from California, or people come from, like, they're not in their natural area. They don't fit into the community. Me'eza si bashahi, they're different. Right? So these people, we have a special mitzvah to love them. And again, if we've been learning about Gerim for the last 7, 8, 9 weeks, whatever it is, I think as a conclusion, we should focus that, you know, there sometimes are people who are different, but the mitzvah Ahavtim Es Hager applies that we should welcome them in, etc. The Sefer Geiros Kehilchosa that I brought quotes from some of the Rishonim, the Rashbates and others, that they say that the mitzvah Ahavtim Es Hager places a chiyuv on the Beis Din to accept a convert. That's a very big chiddush. I would have said that Ahavtim Es Hager is that after you convert, I have to love you. They say Ahavtim Es Hager means I have to make the process easy for you, or I have to help you out. Once I recognize your sincerity, I help you out, because Ahavtim Es Hager, even before you've converted, I have to make the process as smooth as possible. This is something that, unfortunately, the scandal in Washington, I think, uncovered, that we weren't fulfilling the mitzvah of Ahavtim Es Hager as properly as we should, to make it, you know, obviously we have to have standards and we have to, right, make sure that people are sincere. But once they are sincere, the Gemara says, right, once you accept mitzvos, so shehuye mitzvah lo mashinon, we don't delay. We bring you in as quickly as possible because of the mitzvah of Ahavtim Es Hager. Rabbi Asher Weiss has a tshuva where he discusses, is it mutter for a Beis Din to reject a ger for other reasons? Meaning, if you have someone who's a sincere person who wants to accept Judaism, wants to be nechus tachas kante ashiya, but you look at the person, and the person is just weird, and the person just won't fit in the community, and you think people are going to make fun of them. So, should you accept to the convert or not? Rabbi Asher Weiss discusses, maybe the only reason to reject a person is because they're not sincere in Torah mitzvahs. And that seems to be his conclusion. If you'd ask me the Shaila, I would answer, you know why you have to accept them? Because that's exactly what the mitzvah of Ahavtim Es Hager is. Yes, the person is going to be a little bit weird, and the person maybe is going to be someone who doesn't have a parnosa, and it's going to become a bit of a burden on the community to support. But that's Ahavtim Es Hager. And I think that we have a responsibility to of Haftim Asagir, to try to be as loving as we possibly can. So, Orly, yeah.
Is it obligatory for the community to support the Gera?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, 100%. Once a person converts to Judaism, there's a mitzvah of supporting B'chei Yochicha Imah. You have to support the person 100%. Yeah. Okay, I thank you for listening to these shiurim. Have a good evening.